All right, Psalm 92. Now, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and I'm glad that we have a day in this nation set aside called Thanksgiving, a day for giving thanks. And the reason I like that is because it begs the question, to whom are we thankful? That's good for lost sinners to think about. And if it will make some sinner think about that question, that's good. To who is it that we give thanks? Who does the sinner saved by grace give thanks unto? Our Psalm 92 begins, verse 1, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." Unto the Lord. "And it's a good thing to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord because it gives God glory. It gives Him glory. And God's true saints give God all the thanks, because we give Him all the glory. There's nothing that we have that we didn't receive from God. So we thank Him for all our blessings. We sing praises to His name because He is the Most High. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. So we thank God for all blessings. And it's good to thank God when He gives us good times and blessings that we see are blessings and that we're thankful for. It's good to thank Him. But it's also good to thank Him when He gives us sad times and He gives us sorrow. Both are by the hand of the Most High. Both are for our good and for His glory. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When I'm in the valley, give thanks, because this place, right here where I am, in the valley, this is the will of God for me. And it's God's will for me to thank Him. So in everything, give thanks. It says there, it's good to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. God is Alpha and Omega. He's A to Z. He's the author and finisher of His people's faith. In the morning of eternity, salvation began by God's unmerited loving kindness to His people, to whom He chose. And it goes on and is carried through, that salvation is carried through to the end by God's faithfulness. In the womb of the morning, Scripture said, when we were born again and drawn to Christ, that was by God's loving kindness. And it's by God's faithfulness that He carries us all through this life unto the end. Every trial begins by God's love and kindness, and we're carried to the end and delivered by His faithfulness. And so He says to us every morning, it's good to thank God and sing praise to His name every morning for His loving kindness. He carries us, He gives us each new morning. And He carries us through that whole day by His faithfulness. So we give Him thanks and we praise His name for His loving kindness and for His faithfulness. Now, as we near the beginning of a new year, we'll be here before you know it. And as we enter and draw near to the beginning of a new year and the end of this year, we have so much to thank God for. So much to thank God for. Everything. Everything. But most of all, above all, we thank God for His great salvation in His Son. That's what we thank for, the great salvation we have in His Son. Now, this psalm gives us three things in particular for which we thank God. First of all, we thank Him for saving us by the works of His hands. For saving us by the works of His hands. Secondly, we thank God for strengthening us by His Spirit. And thirdly, we thank God for preserving us unto the end. We thank Him for saving us by the works of His hands, for strengthening us by His Holy Spirit, and for preserving us to the end. We thank God. We give God all the thanks, and we sing praises to His name for saving us by the work of His hands. He says there in verse 4, "For Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through Thy work. I will triumph in the works of Thy hands. O Lord, how great are Thy works, and Thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this." Now, here's the state. Here's the state, brethren, of each believer. If you're a true child of God, truly born of God, this is your state. I know it is, because it's mine. It's the state of every sanctified child of God. He says there in verse 4, we're glad. We're glad. No matter what, even when I'm sad, I'm glad. Even when I'm sad, I'm glad. And here's how we arrived at this state. Verse 4, Thou, Lord, hast made me glad. Look back there at what Brother Robbie just read. Psalm 100. Look there. He says, Psalm 100, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It's He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." What does that make you do? Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Bless His name. We have to say with Paul, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. By His free, sovereign grace, I am what I am." God made us, brethren, by choosing us in His Son before this world was ever created. He made us by predestinating us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. God, the Most High, is not a God of chance. He's a God of immutable purpose. God made us before our mother and our father made us. Listen to this. "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." God made us before we were made. Well, that's my state. I'm glad. How I arrived at it? "Lord, Thou hast made me glad." What was the means? Verse 4 says, "Through Thy work." Through Thy work. God Himself. God Himself. The sovereign, holy God of creation. God Himself took flesh like mine. Sinless flesh. And He did all the work that God sent Him to do for God. Before God could do anything for me, God had to perform a work for Himself. And he came forth and he finished the work that God sent him to do for God. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. That's what he's done. The Lord's well pleased, not for my righteousness' sake, not for your righteousness' sake. The Lord's not looking at you or me and boasting in anything in us. The Lord's looking at his Son's righteousness. And he's well pleased for his righteousness' sake because Christ honored the law. He honored the law and he magnified the law. He magnified how important the law is and how it must be upheld. And he honored it. He did that for God. He did the work of declaring the righteousness of God. He made justice and justification meet in harmony. Justice and justification, truth and mercy met in harmony in Christ. And Christ finished the work that his people couldn't do. The work we could not do for ourselves, he finished it. When our Lord Jesus cried out on the cross and said, "It is finished." When he cried out, "It is finished." According to most people, they say that when he cried, "It's finished," he didn't really mean it's finished. He meant it's finished a little bit, but now there's something you have to do. That's not what it meant. It meant it is finished. What did he finish? He finished the transgression. He finished the transgression. He totally, completely blotted out the transgression of Adam for his people. The transgression of his people. He blotted that out for his people. He made an end of sins for his people. His people cannot sin. You and I cannot sin. Oh, in ourselves, that's all we do. But I'm talking about before the judge, before God, we cannot sin. Christ made an end of sins for his people. When he cried out, "It's finished," he said he had made reconciliation for iniquity. He brought his people back into friendship with God. And he brought in everlasting righteousness. Righteousness that we can't make it end. It's everlasting righteousness. We can't mess it up. We can't mess it up. He sealed up the vision. He sealed up prophecy. And he anointed the Most Holy. That's what he meant when he said it's finished. He finished all the works. Now here's my state. I'm glad. Does that make you glad? I'm glad. Here's how I arrived at it. Lord, thou hast made me glad. Here's the means. It's through thy work. What's the result? Verse 4. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Christ's blood is so effectual. That work is so finished. God is so satisfied. His law is so honored, brethren, that you and I can speak right now like we have already won the victory and he's already divided the spoils with us. That's how sure this thing is in Christ. It's not sure because of us. It's sure because of him. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Christ delivered us from so great a death, and he doth deliver, and in Christ we trust that he will yet deliver us. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Now, seeing this is all of God, seeing all this is of our Redeemer, what then shall I do? What shall I do? Seeing it's all of my redemption, what am I going to do? I'm going to ascribe it all to God by thanking him for all. And by singing praise to him for all. That word loving kindness and faithfulness, that takes in who God is and everything God's done for His people. O Lord, verse 5, O Lord, how great are Thy works, and Thy thoughts are very deep. A prudish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. Paul said this. He was going on about how the Lord has saved Jew and Gentile and how He won't lose one. And he got to the end of verse 11 and he said, oh, the depth. Oh, the depth of both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. And that's where He brings you, isn't it? You can't plumb the depths of His wisdom and His knowledge. You can't plumb the depths of His great works. All we can say is, Lord, they're deep. They're deep. They're deep. I was preaching down at Rocky Mount a few weeks ago, and one of the brethren came up to me after the message, and they made this comment. They said, you went deep on that subject. Oh, brethren, I didn't even scratch the surface on it. I guarantee you that. The depth of God's works. Now, tomorrow, some won't give thanks to anybody but themselves. You know there's no such thing as a self-made man. There's no such thing. Everybody has somebody to thank. Many are going to thank their lucky stars. There's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as lucky stars. God is the Most High. Everything that comes to pass in this world is by the direct hand of our sovereign God. Good or evil, it's under His full control. There is no luck. There is no chance. Everything comes to pass according to His purpose. Some people are going to thank their idol that they call God. Why they thank Him, I don't know. Because they say themselves He can't save unless they let Him. They say He can't do anything unless they let Him. Why would you thank a worthless God like that? I don't know. But some will thank their idol. But why will men thank these worthless things? Because the brutish man does not understand. The fool does not know. He doesn't understand this. And you know what, brethren? You and me, we were the brutish man. We were the brutish man. We were the fool. We did not understand God, His works, and we couldn't. But you know what? It's by those very works that we couldn't understand and that we didn't know. It's by those very works that He gave us the mind of Christ and taught us what great things He had done for us by the work of His hand and made us understand. By the very works we didn't know and couldn't know, God regenerated us and gave us an understanding of what He's done. Do you see how what resounding proof that is? That we're saved only by the works of God. The works that we wouldn't confess, the works we couldn't know, the works we couldn't believe, the works we didn't understand. God saved us by those works. That's why, brethren, it's only a man who's been born of God that gives God all the glory for salvation. Because we understand and know things now that we could not understand and didn't understand before. We wouldn't bow to these things before. Now we love them. We love them. Now secondly, we thank God for strengthening us as His particular people. He strengthens His people. He gives us fresh oil, the psalmist said. He gives us the Spirit of God afresh. And strengthens us. But He does this as our particular people. God does not do this for everybody. Look, verse 7. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But Thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, Thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, Thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. You and I can look about us, and we see everywhere around us here, everywhere in this world, throughout this nation, we see wicked men springing up like the grass. Just abundant. And they seem to just be flourishing. The workers of iniquity. We live in the most wealthy, prosperous generation there's ever been. This wealth is just unbelievable how much wealth some people have and how much prosperity they have. Great prosperity. Great prosperity is frequently the forerunner of destruction to wicked men. It leads them to provoke divine wrath. Think about it. By hardness of heart, great prosperity will harden a sinner's heart further. Just look at Pharaoh. By pride, God gave Nebuchadnezzar all the kingdoms of the earth. And you know what it did? It just hardened him against God because he was lifted up in pride. Prosperity leads to destruction because of the haughty hatred men have for the saints. The more man has in this world, the more prosperous he becomes in this world, the more it seems the rich hate God's saints. Look at Haman. Look at Haman. Oh, he was prosperous. All he wanted to do was kill all the Lord's people. It leads to destruction by carnal security. Think of the rich fool. He had so much his barns couldn't hold him. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll give all this to the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. Nope. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger barns. And then I'll say to my soul, soul, take your ease. You got it made now. Rest of your days. Thou fool. Thou fool. Tonight, your soul's going to be required of you. Then whose things will these be? Carnal security. And the prosperity leads to destruction because of self-exaltation. Men just become so self-exalted when they prosper. A little bit with money and wealth and things. Men begin to just really become proud of self and just so exalted. Look what I have accomplished. Look what I have accomplished. Look at Herod. Look at Herod. And all the while, he thinks God has really blessed him. God's blessed me. Look, just look at this prosperity I have. God's blessed me. God says, the psalmist says, but Thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. None of this is out of God's control. It's according to His purpose. What's He doing? It's that they shall be destroyed forever. You mean God would prosper people in this world simply to destroy them forever? That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Don't envy the rich. Don't envy them. Our Lord said, it's easier for a camel, a full-grown, real, living, breathing camel, to go through the eye of a sewing needle than it is for a rich man to be saved. God warns us against prosperity more than anything else in this world. The cares of this world choke out the Word. Many have lusted after money and their faith has just been choked out and they've just been pierced through with arrows. Don't envy the prosperous. But you and I, we had our hands full of this world. We were looking to all the prosperous things we had and looking to the works of our hands. And we thought we were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. God does something for His particular people that He doesn't do for the rest of this world. Verse 92, verse 10. But my horn, that word horn is strength. But my strength shalt thou exalt like a wild ox. How's God going to do that? I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Fresh oil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the beginning, He said, I'll pray the Father, and He'll send forth another Comforter. He'll send forth the Holy Spirit. And when He's come, He won't speak of Himself. He's going to speak of me. And He's going to convince, He's going to persuade my people scattered throughout the world. He's going to convince them of three things. He's going to convince them of righteousness, because I go to the Father. He's going to convince them of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And when He came forth in the first hour, God anointed us with oil, and He convinced us of those three things. Christ is the righteousness of God. He convinced us that our sin, our chief sin, was not all these immoral things we thought was our chief sin, but our chief sin was we didn't believe on Christ. And He made us see Christ is the righteousness of God, and judgment has been settled. The works are finished. And He brought us to believe on Christ. And then when He brought us to believe on Christ, He sealed us. He sealed it. He sealed us just like we used to seal tomato sauce in those jars. He sealed us. Scripture says, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He sealed us. And Christ promises to give us fresh oil. By the Spirit of God, He continues to give us fresh oil, fresh anointing. There's no way we'd continue in faith otherwise. There's no way we would be carried away with the wicked and be lost for the prosperity of this world except for Him giving us fresh oil, strengthening us, make us strong. He said the youths are going to faint, even though a person's young and once might have had the strength of a young person in the faith. They're going to faint. You're going to faint. He said, but they're going to mount up with wings as eagles, because He gives fresh oil. He gives strength to them that have no strength. He don't give strength to you that have strength. He gives strength to them that have no strength. Now listen, if you're outside of Christ, you're God's enemy. If you're outside of Christ, if you meet God, you might flourish in this life. But please understand this. Please hear this. You might flourish in this life. In a job, in the things you're ambitious for, and with your friends, and with honors, and whatever it is. You may flourish in this life. But if you meet God without Christ, there's coming a day when that will not be the case. You're not going to flourish with God. If you're trusting in your works, they're iniquity. They do not equal up to the righteousness God requires. And the Scripture says, He will scatter. Lo, verse 9, lo thine enemies, O Lord, lo thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. Our God, Christ Jesus, said in that day, men are going to stand before Him, and He's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Hear that. If you're sitting here right now without Christ, hear that word from God. That's serious. It's serious. Right now, you may stand before God before the night's over. It's urgent. But Christ's people, born of His Spirit, They're going to live forever because God lives forever. And we're going to behold in that day, our eyes are going to behold our enemy and our ears are going to behold the wicked that rose up against us. God, when He casts them out, He's going to do it in righteousness, and His people in that day are going to praise Him for His righteousness. I pray God to make you a trophy of His mercy and His grace, not a monument to His justice. Now let's look at this last thing. We thank God for preserving us to the end. We thank Him for saving us by the works of His hands. We thank Him for strengthening us as His particular people with fresh oil. And we thank God for preserving us unto the end. He says, verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Now, that's not a palm tree like you think of down by the ocean. That's a date tree. A date tree. Dates, like dates. That's what that is. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Christ made each of His people righteous. That's who the righteous are. Those He made righteous. Those He's called and robed in His righteousness. And by His preserving hand, He makes the righteous flourish like the date tree. They say a date tree grows straight up and its branches don't grow out. He makes us grow heavenly, heavenward. He makes us grow up, flourish in godliness and flourish in thanksgiving and praise to God. And it's by His preserving hand He makes us like the cedar tree. Strong. Cedar tree doesn't rot. He preserves us like the cedar tree. Well, how does He make us flourish? Look at verse 13. He plants us in the house of the Lord, and He makes us flourish in His courts. He planted us in the first hour. He brings you and He joins you in His local assembly under the preaching of the gospel, and He makes you to grow. He makes you to flourish through the preaching of Christ Him crucified. It's what we thank God for. This is how He preserves us, through the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. I've heard folks make fun of the saints who just come and they sit in the same spot in a pew week in and week out, and all they just... One man was mocking his people one time, and he said, y'all just like to feed and feed and feed. That's all you like to do. That's all any of us do in natural life, is just eat and eat and eat. How are you going to live? That's all His people do. We come and we feed and feed and feed. And He grows us and makes us flourish. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. That means He's going to make us flourish to the end. He's going to preserve us to the end. Now let's end. I want to end by reading this last verse. And this verse applies to everything in this psalm. Not just to what came right before it. It applies to everything in this psalm. It declares why it's a good thing that believers give God all the thanks and all the praise. Here's why it's a good thing. Verse 15. We give Him thanks and praise to show that the Lord is upright. To show He's my rock. To show there's no unrighteousness in Him. Here's why He saves by the work of His hands. Here's why He destroys His enemies and strengthens His elect. Here's why He preserves His people unto the end. To show that the Lord is upright. To show that He is their rock. To show that there's no unrighteousness in Him. Christ justified them. Christ satisfied righteousness for them. God's just, and He will preserve them, therefore. He's upright. Tomorrow, just like every day, we'll give thanks to God. We'll give all the thanks, all the credit, all the praise, all the glory to God our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. But tomorrow now, if somebody asks you, some family member asks you and says, why do you give God all the thanks? Why do you praise Him? Why do you say that all your salvation is of Him and you have nothing to do with it? You turn to Psalm 92 and you read on verse 15. To show that the Lord is upright, to show that He's my rock, and to show that there's no unrighteousness in Him. That's why. That's why. I pray God to give you a happy Thanksgiving, time with your family, and thank Him. Thank Him. Praise Him. Amen.